Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at Four. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Rockies and Giants scoreless, top of the sixth. Ryan McMahon up.
Probably going to hit a dinger.
Probably. On the text line. Dude! Schlereth's logic is hard to follow.
That's for sure.
Build a great team with a great... Build a great team until a great quarterback comes along. Comes along? Like a bus? He used the 49ers as the model franchise. Yes, the same team that has had four winning seasons since 2003.
So here's an interesting one for you. Okay, so I get it. You want to draft a quarterback when you need a quarterback. Would the Cleveland Browns have been a better position than they were when Baker Mayfield finally got there? Had they selected best player available for the last decade or taken a flyer on a quarterback every chance that they had?
Taking a flyer on a quarterback every chance they had.
No. I mean, that's not, I would disagree with that. Oh. I mean, certainly I'm not going to say it's wrong because
but
you've got opinions.
You've got to do it a certain way, they did it.
When you mess up on quarterback time in and time out, like, I think if you mess up on it once, okay, no big deal. It's going to set you back a handful of years. If you mess up twice, you're talking about a decade that it sets you back. You mess up three times. Oh my gosh. Good Lord. Good luck getting back ever. That's kind of the way that it goes. And so, you know, if you were to build a really competitive roster, a really good roster, the reason why Baker Mayfield is having success right now is because the Browns have got one of the best rosters in the NFL. You put Baker Mayfield on a different team without that roster, and it's going to look radically different. I mean, their own team brought in Case Keenum in the offseason because they didn't necessarily believe in Baker Mayfield. You know, if...
I disagree with you.
Oh, so when they brought in Case Keenum and they were paying him, what was it, $10, $11 million? A year to be a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
That meant that they believed in Baker.
We had a coffee bet on it, and I won that coffee bet.
Okay, so I know you won the bet, but are you're disagreeing now because you are on record as agreeing with me on this many, many times.
I think he was a support quarterback for Baker Mayfield.
Well, now you're changing that story because you won the bet, but you agreed with me previously many times on that. I don't know how you're changing it now.
I don't think they had given up on him, but he was their vet quarterback.
Well, look, point being is that if you've got a really, really good roster, and I'm not to the extreme of the morning show, but if you've got a really good roster, you can plug in an above average quarterback and you're going to have reasonable success. You're going to get to the first round of the playoffs like the Cleveland Browns did. Now, will the Browns need better quarterback play in the long run to win a championship? Yeah. But what Baker Mayfield's doing isn't good enough to win a championship. So they will need better quarterback play in the long run, but they've got a pretty good team right now because they built the roster and they've got the quarterback as well. Now, I don't agree that, you pass up on an opportunity. If you've got an opportunity to draft a quarterback, you probably should, but you got to be careful. And the consequences of getting it wrong are much more significant than getting it wrong on a right tackle or whatever it might be.
We're more or less on the same page here, by the way. So there's no real huge debate because both you and I see a way for the Broncos to draft a quarterback this year. And we've talked about it multiple times. And for the guys in the morning, it's that, I mean, now Mike realizes he looks like an idiot if he just doesn't say go with Drew Lock. He's finally saying that. And Mark is, I don't know what Mark's doing. Here's Ian Rappaport about a couple things. First, about the 49ers and who they want.
Do you really think they went in and that Lynch made these deals and they went back and forth to make sure that the Eagles were involved and nobody found out about any of this without really knowing for sure which of the three quarterbacks not named Lawrence or Wilson that they were going to make all of these maneuvers to go take? Really?
I would say they definitely know that they are very happy with the third quarterback, whoever it is. So, like, they obviously know who they're not getting. I think everyone knows who they're not getting, right? I mean, that would be Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. I believe they are more than happy with number three. And I have a pretty good, I mean, it seems like they know who they're taking.
I mean, that's Mac Jones, right? Or is it not?
It would appear it's going to be Mac Jones for sure. That's what the majority of the insiders would believe.
Right. Here's more from Rappaport.
What I also know is that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have not told people in their organization. So there's only a couple people who actually really know, and they are not saying. So, like, we could talk about the Mac Jones buzz, and we have, and, you know, I think a lot of people originally thought it was for Trey Lance because he would probably sit here. I could make arguments on all sides, but I believe that very few people actually know the answer to this.
Mm. Well, they are going to the pro day, the second pro day.
That's very typical Shanahan stuff right there. Mike Shanahan was the king of secrecy, man. He was notorious for drafting guys that he never even interviewed, never even called them up. I don't know why the 49ers are still playing the game of keeping it such a secret.
Yeah, it's
you
weird.
Know, they've said that they don't need to, but they still right. are. I mean, I would agree that you don't make the move up to number three unless you've identified who you want, but why they're still playing the game?
Yeah, it's odd.
I don't really know.
Here's what he's saying about
like what do they have to risk at this point?
I really don't know. I have no idea. The only thing that makes sense is that it's an up in the air sort of thing. I don't know why they would even care about tipping off other teams. What does it matter?
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's what Rapoport said about teams moving up, though.
Two of the top candidates that I can identify for teams who may trade up for a quarterback, one are the Denver Broncos. And, of course, they have Drew Lock, who they really like, who they had chances to trade this offseason and decided not to because they like his potential. If they don't acquire another quarterback between now and the draft, they would be considered a trade-up candidate, potentially at four, potentially at five, although it's hard to see Cincy moving. Could they slide up a little bit and get whichever of the top five quarterbacks is still available? They would be one team. The other team is the New England Patriots. We know they have Cam Newton as the starter. I do not anticipate that the Patriots are done at the quarterback position. I would expect them to take one at some point in the draft. Could they trade up for whichever fifth quarterback is sliding a little bit? I would say that is something to keep an eye on if a QB gets within striking distance.
So that's, yeah, here we go. The Broncos are sort of entering that conversation. Finally. At last. But what are they going to do? Where are they going to go? And by the way, today, with nothing necessarily happening yet, does that diminish what's going on with Bridgewater? I know you've advocated just don't do anything. And I forget if you just don't. Oh, it's Stokely, like, hates Teddy Bridgewater for some reason. Like, he just thinks he's terrible. Do you think he's terrible, too? Do you think he's terrible?
No, Teddy I don't think he's terrible. I think Teddy Bridgewater is a very safe quarterback that you know exactly what you're going to get. The upside isn't much higher than the best that you've ever seen from Teddy Bridgewater. No, I don't think he's a terrible quarterback, but he's certainly not an exciting quarterback, and he's certainly not a guy I want to go make a play for right now. I don't think it means anything that nothing's happened with Teddy Bridgewater so far, because you look at the finances, which I brought up yesterday, of what the Panthers have got, and they've got major incentive to hold off until June 1st on making a move either via trade or a release with Teddy Bridgewater. So I don't think there's much going to be much movement here. Teddy knows he's got $10 million guaranteed, and that's a major problem when you look for motivation to get a guy to take a pay cut. So I don't expect any rapid transactions here with Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, the Broncos do have a big decision to make, though. It's going to be very quirky and interesting what they do. Details on that next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and Dina.
You gotta do?
I wanna know what you gotta do.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim.
That's what you do. You don't have a quarterback, you just keep looking. You just keep picking. You just go and you go and you go. That's it.
Then you end up like the Browns.
If you're bad at it, yeah. If you suck at it.
So far we haven't been good.
We have not been good. John Elway hasn't been good. We hope that George Payton can do better. And George Payton will be, true or false, at Trey Lance's second throwing day and or Justin Fields' second throwing day. What do you think?
Well, do we know the answer to either one of these?
We do not. Not yet, no.
I do not think he'll be at Trey Lance's.
Okay.
I think that...
Why not?
Well, because it doesn't make sense with the Broncos. Trey Lance is just not the type of quarterback that we need right now. We don't have the stability, and we don't have the type of offensive coordinator that's going to be required to make Trey Lance work. So I just don't think that he's a realistic selection for the Broncos. That's just my personal take on it. So maybe he'll surprise me. Will he be at Justin Fields? He was already at it, right?
He was, yep.
I do not think he'll be at it again.
Okay.
You know, even if you're really interested in Justin Fields at this point, I think that if you show up to both of them, you're probably playing your cards out there for everybody to look at a little bit too much, and you're going to let the whole world know that you've got a very significant interest level in him. You don't need to be there. There's nothing else that you need to learn from whatever this second pro day is going to give.
Right.
So I think it'd be a mistake for him to attend Justin Fields' second pro day.
Now, they're not doing private workouts. So the only way you get a second throwing day in the case of Justin Fields is because it's been requested by an NFL team, and we know John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan will be at that pro day. Logically, it would make sense if they're going to be there. They're interested in it and maybe even requested it. Why? Why would they even have this kind of interest if they're so sold what we hear from everybody on Mac Jones?
Yeah, I disagree with you a little bit that logically they have to be interested in Justin Fields. You know, maybe they are, and maybe they've got everybody fooled, and Justin Fields is the guy that they've been locked in on all along. I don't think just
all right, let me back up for a second. So you're saying, and I like it, they really are interested in Justin Fields. They knew they would be able to get a day to see him, and they just wanted to check Mac Jones off the list? Like, eh, forget it.
Well, hold on. Now you're putting words in my mouth for sure. I don't think that means either one of those. I think that the 49ers probably know who their guy is going to be. It feels like it's going to be Mac Jones, and just because you go to Justin Fields' pro day doesn't mean that you are interested in selecting him. There's a lot of reasons why you go to a pro day, from just trying to confuse other teams to trying to get a scouter report on who this guy's going to be, if you've got to play him in the future, to trying to get an original baseline evaluation on a guy if he were to pop up in 3 years. Because many times, if a guy fails in 2 to 3 years' time, and all of a sudden he hits free agency, well, you don't want to evaluate him based off of what he did over the last 2 to 3 years. You want to evaluate him based off of how you think he would have performed had you got your hands on him with your original grade. So I don't think that it means that they're interested in him. I just think that this is what you do this time of year.
Something special's going on with the Rockies. I know. You don't want to hear good news about the Rockies, but something's happening. And in terms of Mark Schlereth...
One piece of meat? Yeah. Ooh, I'm scared now.
Okay, that's right. I get it. You lift weights. No Offense Friday's next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Adam Wainwright about Nolan Arenado.
It's been neat getting to know him as a person. You know, the last year or two, he would send me videos when he was trying to get traded over here. He would say, hey, you know, show this to Mo. And he would be, you know, middle of the off season, taking ground balls down the third base line and doing his little jump throw from, you know, almost the dugout and making perfect throw one after another.
Arenado, a drive deep left at the wall. Welcome to St. Louis, Nolan.
Oh, well, there's no comparison. This was one of the greatest moments. You know, I've been fortunate to hit a couple homers, hit a homer for the cycle one time, and that was one of my, probably tops this just a little bit, but I've never gotten a curtain call before, and to get one of those was just an unbelievable feeling. Never had that. I was just so pumped up, and, you know, it felt like a packed house here today. Those guys, you know, the fans got so loud, and it was just an amazing day, but just to get that curtain call, to help the team win, it's just a, you know, it's hard to put into words how special it was for me and my family.
It's a No Offense Friday. As long as you say no offense, you can say anything. So, hey, Nolan, no offense, but I think you're being a spoiled brat there. I think you're ripping on whether you know it or not. I think you're taking a shot on Rockies fans. You want to take a shot on management? I mean, okay. But you got a new teammate of yours now saying you were sharing videos about how you wanted to be a Cardinal for the past couple of years, like making jump throws. What, did they not have video in St. Louis? I mean, weird. weird and weak. And to take a shot on the fans, no offense, man, but you could have said how awesome it felt without ripping on the Rockies fans.
Hey, I don't know if, see, it's funny.
No
there's,
offense,
a, there's a little
no
piece,
offense.
There's a little piece played there that we didn't play last time we were having this conversation that adds a little bit of context here. Did you not hear the part where he said that he hit a homer for a cycle and it still tops this? Did you miss that part?
I heard it.
Does that part not mean anything? So how was he taking a shot at Rockies fans? I seriously don't get it. If he just said that that actually topped this experience, at what point is he taking a shot at Rockies fans?
When he said he didn't get any curtain calls. He doesn't recall that this was curtain call he got.
If he separates a curtain call from a walk-off homer, which I think a lot of people do, then I don't understand what the beef is. I mean, he said that that moment with the Rockies tops this moment. He literally said that. So I don't know how you could be acting like he's acting like this moment was more meaningful to him than anything else when he said 2 seconds beforehand that that moment topped this. I mean, this is like ultra sensitivity level 101. This is like your ex-girlfriend gets the new boyfriend and all of a sudden like you're following everything she does on Facebook and you're getting mad at anything that she does and you're like, oh, well, she didn't say that. Well, she's blasting me because she said this guy's nice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's when a player gets a new head coach and you say something nice about him, but inadvertently, if you say anything nice about your new head coach, well, you're taking a shot at your previous head coach. I mean, that was so benign. That was nothing what Nolan just said right there. He literally said in the same sentence that the cycle meant more to him. So, I mean, for us to be sitting here and getting all bent out of shape about this is pretty weak sauce. I mean, no offense.
I got it on the text line. Nolan not only, it's not me, this is the text line. Nolan not only dumped on Rockies fans, he also dumped on his teammates and the whole organization by lying about his planned exit. That'd be the Wainwright comment. Come on, Tyler, wake up.
When did he lie about it? It was no secret that Nolan wanted out of Dodge. Everybody's knowing that he wanted out of Dodge. His teammates knew it. The management knew it. Everybody in the world knew that Nolan wanted. Where did he lie?
I'll give you something with what Wainwright said that actually does matter. Let me play it one more time, and I'll point it out.
It's been neat getting to know him as a person. You know, the last year or two, he would send me.
All right, see, that's I'm even going to give you a little something here. He said year or two.
Yeah.
Well, that does matter.
Yeah.
Because
and guess what? It's pretty easy to get caught in context when you say something like this. So you're right. It does matter.
All right. So what I would ask Adam Wainwright, and he doesn't realize what he's saying there. But if it was 2 years ago, that would be months after signing a gargantuan deal with the Rockies. Well, that's a lot different than just a year ago. When things had gone pretty bad for the Rockies and they finished terrible, and you know, I still think it's kind of odd.
So why are we assuming that it was 2 years? So why are we assuming the worst in this?
Yeah, no, I get it.
The more we listen to the actual audio here, the more benign this feels to me. Nolan said that the Rockies moment was more to him. It was better. It was a cool moment. It was more impactful to him than hitting this home run and getting the curtain call with the Cardinals. Wainwright says in the last year or two. Okay, so now we're making assumption that within 2 weeks, 3 weeks of signing the deal, Nolan was putting these text messages out there. I mean, goodness, talk about sensitivity level. Let's just, like seriously, can you just allow the guy to be? He's in a new situation. He's happy. Who cares? He's not the bad guy here. It's the Rockies.
On the text line, no offense, Tyler, quote, the millennial. Of course, making excuses. That's what they do from Trenton on the text line. That's what they do.
You know what? If I'm a millennial, I'm a millennial. I mean, if I'm one of the guys, I'm going to be one of the guys.
No offense. Nolan Arenado, don't be sour, D-Mac. Is D-Mac crying? I'm not crying. Me and Tyler hear this differently. I hear that as a rip on Rockies fans, and Tyler, you don't. But
what is it? What was he supposed to say? Seriously, tell me what he should say.
It was an awesome moment. I really appreciate the St. Louis fans.
And what did he say?
I remember how great it felt when I got that kind of appreciation from the Rockies.
Oh, wait. So when he said that this doesn't match the homer that he hit for the cycle, that doesn't count as saying
that
felt like?
If this
That's
really
not giving credit to the Rockies fans and the fan base when he says that that meant more? Gosh, you guys are sensitive. This is unbelievable. He verbatim said that the Rockies moment was cooler.
Yeah, but he also said he didn't get any, you know, curtain calls from the Rockies fans. No curtain calls.
Well, if he's counting a walk-off homer as different than a curtain call, he's probably not lying.
He got paid hundreds of millions of dollars, but he didn't get any curtain calls. So it's a very touchy topic
that he
didn't get enough curtain calls.
I mean, seriously, could you get any more sensitive
could
about
he,
a guy
hey,
having success?
Tyler, could he get any more sensitive?
No.
Never mind me.
I mean,
could he get
yes.
Could he get more sensitive?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so, he could. He just gave a lot of credit to the Rockies. He's with a new team, and he said that it was a more impactful moment for him with his previous team.
Tyler, stop it. Nolan should have stomped his feet and been traded 2 years ago if that's how he felt, Chris and Littleton.
Well, he sort of did.
It was a crazy time. They had gone to the playoffs 2 years in a row. Everybody was feeling pretty pumped up and optimistic about things. I was fortunate enough to be in a locker, a clubhouse, 2 years in a row getting beer and champagne sprayed on. It was awesome. I really loved that experience. That was fun. And then in spring training the next year, after the second playoff appearance, Nolan signing a gargantuan deal. I mean,
yep.
But what, you know, 2 months later, he's sending Adam Wainwright videos of him making jump throws?
Well, hold on. See, now you're doing that thing where you're making an assumption that just isn't true. Wainwright said a year or two.
I know.
So you're going to try to turn it into the worst here, and you're going to ignore the part where he says that the Rocky cycle was better, that it was cooler. You're going to ignore that part, and you're going to ignore the part where Wainwright said that it was a year or two. So we're just going to cut off the Rockies part where he says that was better, and we're going to act like he's just dogging the Rockies fan. And then we're going to cut off the part where Wainwright said a year or two, and we're going to assume that he was doing it 2 weeks after he signed his contract.
All right, so fair
good
enough.
Job. I mean, do
All
your hey. Deal. Make this as dramatic as you possibly can and turn Nolan into the bad guy.
Fair enough. What if it was 2 years? A year or two could be a year or two. What if it was two?
Well, if it was 2 years, then he...
Do you feel differently?
No, I really don't.
It
doesn't mean too much to me, but it means a lot to you. And if it means a lot to you, then I think you should give as much credit to the year or two part as you do the two.
I'm with Tyler. No offense. I think Stoke and D-Mac are on the Rockies' payroll.
I mean, it's unbelievable how sensitive you are right
that
now.
That is
this.
Ridiculous.
He's your Rockies apologist, D-Mac.
By the way, our guy, not Nolan, my wife calls him Goober, but Austin Gomber actually pitched pretty well today until the bottom of the seventh, and he walked a couple guys, and then they loaded the bases.
How many?
He walked two guys. He walked two guys. He had five strikeouts and three walks. He only had given up one hit. I mean, he pitched awesome, but he threw over 100 pitches. They took him out. And then Finley, you know Finley, he's the guy that looks like he's a motorcycle cop from the 70s, you know,
right.
with the mustache. He gave up a two-run double. So both those runs will get billed to Gomber, or Goober, as my wife calls him. So the Rockies are down 2-0 in the bottom of the seventh. Two outs, runners on second and third. Boy, they just let Cueto, the pitcher, hit in the bottom of the seventh. That's how good he's pitching, by the way. So the Rockies haven't scored much. So, you know, listen, we're keeping tabs on...
Winning the ratio this time. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling better about it this go around because you played the full audio. Now I'm winning the ratio. We just cut out all the good stuff last time.
Makes sense that Nolan only had time to make videos when the league was shut down due to COVID. Again, I don't even know what that means. Look at last year. Nolan quit on the team. Says it all.
You are very selectively reading right now.
Oh, you can read whatever you want. I'm just reading them in order that I'm seeing them. So I'll read the next one up from it. The cycle walk-off was an individual achievement, and he said was amazing. He didn't comment on how the Rockies or fans treated him after. Okay, he said he didn't get any... He didn't get enough... what do we call them? Curtain calls, yeah.
My goodness. Can we get any more jealous right now?
Jealous?
Seriously? Yeah.
Jealous.
Can we get any more jealous that Nolan's having fun in St. Louis?
Jealous?
This is exactly what it is. The best player in franchise history is gone. Now he's having fun. He's on a winning team. He's in a great spot. And we're going to look for any ammunition we possibly can to make him the bad guy. So, yeah, that's exactly what this is.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I do know my high school reunion's coming up. And I am way better looking than Amy's husband now. What can I tell you? we got John.
Today. I agree. Yes.
Oh, yeah. It took me 7 months to get there, but I'm finally ready for the reunion. We'll hear from John Clayton coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Man.
For the Rocks, they're down 2-0 now. Bottom seven, base loaded, two outs. Yastrzemski at the plate. You ever call Yastrzemski?
Sure.
Do you really? That's cool. I have a love-hate relationship with Carl Yastrzemski as a Red Sox fan.
How do you not know Carl Yastrzemski?
Oh, okay. Well, his
Yaz,
his nephew or his grandson or grandson? I don't know. He just struck out. So the Rockies got to make a little bit of a comeback here. We'll see how they do. Tapia to lead it off. Masters, we'll get to John Clayton here in a second. What were your observations about the Masters? We got Justin Rose still in front, but he came back to earth, shooting even par, 7-under. Will Zalatoris? No, that's not it. Zalatoris?
Mm. Zalatoris.
Zalatoris at 6-under, as is Ben Harmon. Yeah, hold on. Brian Harmon, sorry. He is at 6-under. Mark Leishman is at 5-under. Jordan Spieth is at 5-under. And Justin Thomas, among some other big names, at 4-under. Big day coming back. Bryson DeChambeau had a great day shooting 5-under to be 1-under and sort of back in the running. Enough to be interested in tomorrow, that's for sure. So what were some of your Masters takeaways today?
Well, you kind of hit all the highlights there, but it was a fantastic day. It was a lot of fun. Rose started out plus four. It looked like he was about to tank, and he just found a way to turn it around. Ended the day even on the day, so didn't gain any, didn't lose any as far as what he had personally done. He's still minus seven, but he lost a lot of ground on the field because there were a lot of guys that had a day today. Zalatoris is a young man out of Wake Forest that is playing great golf right now. Bryson was the story of the day, in my opinion, because he started out so bad, plus four yesterday, ends up today minus five on the day, so he's minus one on the tournament, and absolutely in the hunt. You know, the difference from seven to one is rather small in a tournament like this with a course like this. You look at those greens. It's insane, man. You land on one quadrant and you end up on the total other, or you end up off of the green. I was watching guys have 50-foot putts where they would try to putt up the hill and the ball would end up behind them where they began. It's really easy to blow up on this course. So I think it's a really tight race right now. It's a really, really tough course right now, and Bryson's going to be the guy to keep your eye on just as far as the overall storyline, because had one hell of a day today.
That sounds good to me, that's for sure. Hey, no offense Friday on the text line, but Rockies fans are not smart baseball fans. Wow. Don't know when to cheer until the big board tells them to. I think that's what Nolan was referring to, Matt in Littleton. Dude, Matt, I gotta tell you, man, we've had baseball here since the early 90s. I think Colorado's a pretty savvy baseball town, to be honest with you. I think there's great fans here in Colorado for baseball. Great fans. I think if you really were to be honest about what people
got
love,
very loyal fans, that's for sure.
I mean,
year in, year out, you're always going to end up in the top of the attendance in the entire league. Rockies fans show up. It doesn't matter whether the team wins or loses. They just show up.
I think it's it's a big Broncos town, first and foremost. But I bet you it's a Rockies town after that. And I know, the very sensitive hockey fan is just all crying in a sweater right now.
Oh, wow. You are not allowed to ever call hockey fans sensitive. Never again for the rest of your life are you allowed to call hockey fans sensitive.
You gotta be, nobody's more sensitive than hockey fans.
No, nobody is more sensitive than Darren McKee about baseball. Nobody.
No offense. D-Mac is like kids today. Quote, you can say that because my feelings are hurt. Grow up and move on. That's too funny. No offense. Tyler saying give Nolan a pass for ranking an individual accomplishment over another individual accomplishment doesn't give him a free pass. It has nothing to do with the team or city. Crying about curtain calls says everything you need to know about how he feels about Colorado. There you go. And it goes back and forth like that. It's definitely...
I just don't even know why like we're so sensitive about Nolan right now. Like, who cares?
You tell... He's in a new city.
He's thriving. He's having fun. Why?
I'll use your girlfriend analogy. This is...
So you admit you're being jealous.
Nolan's got an issue, too. It cuts both ways. It cuts both ways. Okay. Well, all right, hold on. Why do you think he was so emotional about that home run in St. Louis?
Because it was his first game in a new stadium, in a new city with a new fan base. Are you kidding me?
Could you dream of
a bigger moment than that? Getting a game-winning home run with your first game in the new city, in the new stadium? I mean, that's it, as big as it could possibly get. That's what you dream of as an athlete.
You dream of leaving the team that drafted you out of high school to go somewhere else?
See, now you're just adding stuff into it.
But that's what happens.
You asked me a question, and I answered it, and now you're going to add stuff into it to fit your narrative.
Well, hold on, though.
Don't tell me to hold on.
Hold on. But you think that's a kid's dream?
Yes.
To be drafted out of high school?
That's not what I talked about.
Being offered an unbelievable contract?
See, you're adding a narrative
being
into
an
it
icon
that wasn't
in a
related.
City, and
that
then
wasn't related.
Leaving
that
to
was
play
not
for
related.
A front runner?
Why was he emotional about hitting a game-winning home run with his new team in a new city is totally unrelated to anything that has happened previously in his career.
I think he's emotional.
Any professional athlete would have the exact same emotions.
I think any athlete.
Hey,
who
guess
is...
what? When I came back to Denver, when I got traded, my very first game was with the Seattle Seahawks playing here in Denver at Mile High Stadium a week after I had been traded. Do you know how badly I wanted to beat the brains in of the Denver Broncos because I wanted to prove a point? Do you know how badly I wanted to succeed for my new team, for my new city, to prove to them that you did the right thing by bringing me in? Do you know how good it felt to come back here and play really good football back where I already began? That's what athletes want. You go to a new city. You want the fresh start. You want to be the hero, and now he's the hero.
Huh? I'll leave it there for now. We'll get back to it after 5 o'clock, but we do have John Clayton on the line. John Clayton, 104.3 The Fan, senior writer for DenverFan.com, joins us courtesy of Flesh and Beck Law, injury attorneys. All right, John, it feels like it's the same topic kind of over and over and over again about the Broncos and the quarterback situation. What is the latest and the greatest?
It's getting more interesting because, again, a new option has now crept in there after the Sam Darnold trade happened, and that new option would be Teddy Bridgewater. And so the idea that I have, and again, I know it's painful to bring up this name, Brock Osweiler. It's like you bring up Brock Osweiler, but it's like, what Houston had to do after signing to a 4-year, $72 million contract to unload that ungodly contract was to give an extra second round pick to the Cleveland Browns just to unload the contract. And then, you get a fourth compensatory in return. But I can see the same thing with Bridgewater. He's got a $10 million guaranteed base. So you work out a deal for a seventh round pick in 2022, 2023. You have the, Colorado, the Panthers end up paying the 10 mil because they're only paying a little over 4 mil for Sam Darnold this year. So they get Sam Darnold, and you can have a total of $14 million tied up in quarterbacks. To me, that would be the one option, plus the fact that who knows him better than George Payton, who was involved in drafting him in Minnesota.
Well, okay, so let's play that game. If Broncos were to get a deal done with Teddy Bridgewater before the draft, does that rule out a quarterback in the draft if somebody were to slip to 7, 8, 9, somewhere in that ballpark?
Yeah, I would think so. But here's an interesting scenario. Story out of Washington is that some people were saying that the Washington football team would trade almost all their draft choices to move up to get Trey Lance. Okay?
Mm, wow.
And if that's the case... All right. So now you're George Payton. You're sitting there at number nine, right? You know, you may get an offensive tackle. I mean, I think the second offensive tackle is going to be there. I mean, you can take a cornerback, but do you really want to take a cornerback at that spot at number nine and have him sit for a year because you got three cornerbacks ahead of him? I mean, why not trade with the Washington football team, move down? You can get one of the top three cornerbacks in the draft there and get a whole stockpile of draft choices.
What other wild cards are out there, like Washington? You know, maybe the Saints. Can the Saints maybe be a wild card for a quarterback? Yeah, we've got Patriots, now Washington. Any others?
No, with Saints, no, because again, you know, they've got Jameis Winston. You know, they're paying over $10 million a year for Taysom Hill, and they have no cap room. I mean, them taking a quarterback would just not be useful. And plus, I mean, no quarterback's going to last down there that long. I mean, the five quarterbacks will go, you know, in either the first 15 or the first 19 picks, probably more so in the first 13 picks. And so I don't see New Orleans going in there. I mean, you know, Washington certainly now is going to be in there. Mike Lombardi, he used to work with Bill Belichick in New England, you know, came out on his podcast and said that he does not think that Bill Belichick would move up to get a quarterback in this draft, and that's one that I thought could be a possibility. Now, certainly they're interested in Jimmy Garoppolo, but unless they give a number one, that's not happening. So, no, I think the players still, I mean, Denver looking at a quarterback, but I think more experienced quarterback, and you know, you got Washington, but you're starting to run out of teams that are looking for or trying to get quarterbacks.
You have second pro days coming. You have Justin Fields throwing again, and now we find out Trey Lance is going to throw again. John, what's going on here?
Well, what's going on, and it really goes with Fields, is that Fields' workout, a pro day workout, was on the same day as Mac Jones. And so we didn't know if it was gamesmanship or anything else, but everything we hear about Kyle Shanahan is that he does want Mac Jones as a third pick in the draft. And so he did not attend the Fields thing because he was down in Alabama watching Mac Jones. But here's where the problem is. Kyle Shanahan hates pro workout days. He hated going to Alabama. He's going to hate going to see Fields. He is going to go, but I don't see them taking Fields. I mean, I think he can go to Detroit. He could come down to number nine, and he could have, you know, maybe some trade possibilities with that. But in the end, I think that, you know, Mac Jones is going to go number three. But the reason for that is, and particularly if you're going to be Trey Lance and you see you're not going to probably go to San Francisco, you better work yourself another day to try to convince other teams to be able to take you, because he's going to be a good quarterback. But, you know, he's the rawest of the raw in this draft.
You know, John, I've kind of given up on this at this point because I'm obviously listening to the majority of the insiders that Mac Jones is the guy. But I played for Kyle, and I just had this gut feeling when they made the move that he might have been making that move for Trey Lance because of a little bit of the short-term success he had with Robert Griffin. But I just thought that Trey feels like the biggest boom or bust guy. Kyle would have the ability to get the best out of him. You think it's a done deal, though, that it's Mac Jones? I mean, why are they even playing games? Why are they going to Justin Fields' pro day at this point, you know?
I mean, you know, just because I think just to do due diligence and keep everybody guessing. But see if this jives with what you did playing for Kyle, okay? And this comes from people that know him. I mean, even Chris Sims, who is like his best friend, all right? What type of quarterback does Kyle Shanahan like?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, did he like RG3 or did he like Kirk Cousins?
No, they chose Kirk. Dan Snyder chose Robert Griffin.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so in the same vein, what he likes in a quarterback, and see, this jives with what you remember playing for him, he wants accuracy. Mm. He wants smarts. He wants somebody that really is an expert on down and distance and know what to do on down and distance. In a draft, I mean, that's clearly Mac Jones. And so that's why I think he's going to take Mac Jones. And even though it was pricey to move up to get him, he now knows he can get him at number three. So I don't think there's any gamesmanship here. Again, I know they were deciding between him and Trey Lance, but, you know, Lance only has 17 games under his belt, one last year, and he's not going to play this year. And probably Mac Jones is not going to play this year because of Jimmy Garoppolo. But in the end, I think he wants that game manager more so than the athletic quarterback.
John Clayton, the Fan senior Bronco writer, courtesy of Fleshenbeck Law. Read John's latest on the Broncos every day at denverfan.com. It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim.
I was compared to Dory today. by Mark Flores.
Oh, shiny object over there, shiny object over here. Let's go.
That is the theory that DMAC is throwing at you right now. Just keep drafting. It's like Dory from Finding Nemo. Just keep drafting, just keep drafting. Dun, 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 dun. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming. And then and it's exactly like Dory because you turn around and you go, oh, hi, how are you? What's your name? We just keep doing the same thing over, over, and over again. Dun, 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 dun. And that is...
Folks, I have to apologize for Marshall Larry. He has grandchildren.
Huh? You got a problem, buddy? Huh? Huh? Do you? Do you? Do you?
What do you do, though, guys? What do you do if you're not sure about your quarterback? Nothing? Seriously, nothing? What's the other option there, Mark? And Marlon, Mike Evans. Marlon's the dad who doesn't want to do anything. He's very protective. He's always...
Are you sure you want to go to school this year? Because there's no problem if you don't. You can wait 5 or 6 years.
Come on, Dad.
What do you do, Tyler? What do you do if you don't have the guy?
It always depends on where you're at. You know, there's not a one-size-fits-all answer to this. Where the Broncos are at right now, they need to be patient. That's what they need to do. They need to not do anything dumb for Teddy Bridgewater, not do anything dumb for Gardner Minshew, Nick Foles of the world. Hey, there's going to be one of, if not all of those guys available after the draft. So there's absolutely no reason to go out and make a trade for any of the leftovers at this point. And that's what they are. They're leftovers. And then when you look at the draft, all right, well, do you want to get that aggressive, move up to number 4 before you know who's going to be there? I think that's a mistake personally, because what if the 49ers shock you? What if you're right, D-Mac? What if the 49ers are actually interested in 2 or 3 guys right now, and we have no idea who they're going to select?
Okay.
Well, that's a pretty risky move to move up to number 4 right now. So,
well, give me a scenario.
They like Justin Fields. And they select Justin Fields. There's your scenario.
So yeah,
I don't want Trey Lance, and I don't want Mac Jones. So
But you could still take Mac Jones or Trey Lance. You could still do it. Of course you could.
But that's my entire point. Is that that's a very risky move. Trey Lance is in the right situation for the Broncos right now.
I agree with you with Trey Lance, but I'm playing devil's advocate here a little bit.
Yeah.
What's the worst case scenario?
You gave up 2 first rounders to move up to number 4 and some, by the way.
Uh-huh.
So 2 first rounders and some, and you have to select a quarterback that you don't believe in. That's a terrible situation.
And then what happens?
And then either you succeed or you fail. But if you fail, you failed with a guy that you didn't even want.
Okay. But then what do you do? All that happens.
What do you mean, then what do you do?
It's
then
2 years later.
Then you figure it out in 2 years.
It's then right. And then what?
And then you figure it out. I mean, what do you mean then what? What am I supposed to say?
You just failed. It didn't work. It was a total disaster.
Yeah.
It's 2 years later. Now what do you do?
Well, you've lost your next 2 first round picks.
Yeah.
So now we're hurting. So you're getting to year 3, by the way, and you don't have a first rounder. Uh-huh. So in your scenario, you don't have a first rounder when you're selecting your quarterback.
Okay.
And now you're in trouble. You're in big trouble.
Well, you just...
When life gets you down, you know what you got to do?
I don't want to know what you got to do.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim.
That's it. You just keep swimming. You just keep picking. You just if it doesn't work out, you just keep doing it again.
You literally can't in that scenario.
You don't have the ability to do it in that scenario. You gotta wait till the next year. But also,
okay. So you know what that just did, D-Mac?
What?
That means you went over a decade of terrible football. That's what that means.
Yeah, that sucks.
So is that a big mistake? Huge. Big time. It's not a good idea. So, I mean, D-Mac, if you think that that's a good idea, I don't know what to tell you. I'm with the morning show then if you think that's a good idea.
Just move
up to number 4 and select anybody.
It's not anybody. You're not taking Ian Book. You're not taking Kyle Trask.
Yeah.
You're taking Mac Jones or Trey Lance.
Do you want to take Mac Jones or Trey Lance at number 4?
I'm not big on either of those guys. I would rather have that.
So you agree?
Well, it's going to go one way or the other. It's either going to work with one of those guys, it's going to work with Drew Locke, or fail. Other than that, you get into the business of $40 million a year unicorn free agent quarterbacks, and you knock on wood that Aaron Rodgers becomes available, or, I mean, the miracle that was Peyton Manning being available. Other than that, your free agent quarterbacks, we already saw what happened. They came and went quickly.
Yeah, it's not as simple as that, though, D-Mac, because if you do the right thing and you're patient and you wait for number five to pop up, you're probably not going to get that because Cincinnati's not going to trade out of there anyways. So now you're going to have to wait until number seven. And if there's a guy that's there at number seven that you like with Justin Fields, okay, now you can get aggressive and you're happy because you know who it is. And if it's not, well, then you just do the right thing for your football team. You select Micah Parsons or you select Penny Sewell or whoever it might be. Mm-hmm. And you figure it out next year when you've got a better opportunity at a quarterback that you like. So, you know, it's to move up to number four and give away 3 years worth of first rounders for a guy that you don't know who it's going to be. I'm not into that.
How do you know where and what position you're going to be in next year and what the quarterback class is going to be?
You don't.
You don't, because you can't choose when you
suck. But you don't make a bad decision just because you don't know.
you don't know if it's – what if they – I get it. You don't like Mac Jones and Trey Lance. You're not that big. Well, what if they do like them?
What if they like – that's a way different scenario.
Well, all right. So, I mean, do you
I mean, I'm playing the game that I'm in charge, you know. So, I mean, if they like Mac Jones and they like Justin Fields, they're okay with either one of them. Then make the move. But they clearly don't, because if they felt that way, they would have already made the move to number three, or they would have made an aggressive offer to Atlanta at this point, and they haven't done either. So I don't think that that's a realistic situation.
See, it is more complicated this year, because in 2018, you literally had nobody. It was a disaster. Like, you knew everything you knew about Paxton Lynch. You had nothing. You had zero. And you were sitting at five. It was easy in 2018. It wasn't complicated. It's much more complicated now. You're not sure about the quarterbacks. You're further back. You're going to have to do a deal to move up. It is more complicated. And in 2018, it was as, you know, plain as the nose on your face. So, yeah, all right, I'll give you that. It's trickier now.
Right.
But you know,
I mean, you don't make a bad decision. You don't make a bad decision just because you don't know what next year's going to bring.
Well, let me ask you this. Based on what is happening and how things are going this particular year,
yep.
Do you really expect much difference from now on when it comes to quarterbacks?
I don't even understand that question.
Do you think from now on there will even be any quality quarterbacks deeper than, say, draft pick 15 in the future? Or do you think this trend, and this is going to be a historic year, will keep continuing?
No, I think this is the same trend that the NFL's always had, and I think it will continue. I don't think there's anything new about what's going on right now. It's always been this way.
Well, quarterbacks were taken in the 20s. I mean, Paxton Lynch was taken in the 20s.
Oh, you're still going to see.
Was taken in
you know
the
what?
20s.
I think you're going to see a quarterback selected in the 20s this year. I think you're going to see a team trade into the first round and select Davis Mills or someone along those lines. So
okay.
That's not going away either.
Oh, all right. So you think there are going to be six quarterbacks taken in the first round?
I'm starting to get that feeling, yeah.
Mm. My guess is that we are going to see what we're seeing. Like, this is historic. I understand that quarterbacks are always valued, but never in NFL history have quarterbacks gone 1, 2, 3, 4. And we're very close to it. And I don't think we've had five quarterbacks go in the top 7 or 8, which is likely very possible to happen as well.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever happened.
So that
but,
is,
but also
that
keep
is
in,
different.
But you also got to keep in context, D-Mac, because it's not just the why is that happening? Because we have a year in which about 2 or 3 months ago, we had Adam Schefter on our show, and he told us that there were going to be 18 or 19 teams that were going to have a new starting quarterback this year. That's why that's happening. It's not because there's this desperate desire to just draft quarterbacks or because these quarterbacks are that great. It just happens to coincide with a year in which you've got over half the league that wants to replace their quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much shakeup this year. Well, the Broncos are where they're at. And now, you know, you want to be...
Are you sure you want to go to school this year? Because there's no problem if you don't. You can wait 5 or 6 years.
Come on, Dad!
Sure, you stick with Drew Lock. Whatever. It's fine. You know, James.
Well, I think you're looking at that wrong, D-Mac. It's not about sticking with Drew Lock as it is making a good decision. What is a good decision? Is a good decision trading away 3 draft picks, 3 first-rounders to go move up to number 4 for just anybody? No, that's not a good decision. I think at least the majority of us would agree on that. I don't think you do, but the majority of us would agree on that. Is a good decision selecting a quarterback at number 9 that you don't believe in just because he's there? No, probably not. Now, if you believe in him, you should select him. Moving, like the... if you don't draft a quarterback this year, that does not mean that you're moving forward with Drew Locke. All that means is that in year one of a six-year deal, George Payton didn't find the right answer to replace Drew Locke. That's all that is. And if Drew Locke goes out and he excels, then great, fantastic. We never have to fix it. But if he doesn't, then you're right back where you are in year two, and you're trying to figure it out then.
On the text line, no offense, but Teddy Bridgewater is growing on me if it doesn't cost anything. Yeah, John Clayton says like a seventh round. Did he say like a seventh round pick next year? Like a seventh round pick, and, you know, Carolina picks up the vast majority of the cash. I mean, that is really getting Teddy Bridgewater for like nothing. You know, we were saying, this third, that fifth, that sort of thing. Seventh round pick, and they pick up most of the money?
I mean, that's pretty much in line with what I said. I said anything more than a fifth rounder is insane, and you better make sure that they're paying at least the $10 million that's fully guaranteed. So, a matter of fact, I think that he just seconded what I've been saying all along. That doesn't sound crazy to me.
All right, fine. I mean, nobody's arguing with that, are they? I mean, is that a problem with anybody if it's a seventh rounder and Carolina's picking up the cash? Is that an issue for Teddy Bridgewater?
It wouldn't be for me, because that's more or less picking him up in free agency is what that is.
Right. And Teddy Bridgewater isn't and we'll have James Merrillat on here in a second, who called my theory wacky. And James is missing out on something that I'm surprised an intelligent person like him doesn't pick up on right away. I am surprised by it. But there's a role for Teddy Bridgewater, not the quarterback of the future. It's a role. It's a bridge. It's a link. Or it's a solid backup to Drew Locke, if Drew is still the guy. That's a better option than Jeff Driskel and Brett Rypien.
Yeah, and I think that that's the better way to look at it. You know, Gardner Minshew, Nick Foles, Teddy Bridgewater. I put them all in the exact same category, that you are getting a competent backup quarterback. That's at worst. Mm-hmm. And at best, you're getting a guy that might push Drew Locke. Okay,
There you go.
And that's a strong might. But they're all in the exact same category. But all of them, that's why I say, relax, just slow down. We don't have to make any decisions before the draft. There's not a big difference from Teddy Bridgewater to Gardner Minshew to Nick Foles. One of, if not all three of them, is going to be there after the draft. You can make a decision at that point, and all you're getting is a backup quarterback anyways. So let's not give up anything stupid to go trade for Teddy Bridgewater or any of them.
Okay. D-Mac has flip-flop on Mac Jones more than anybody this offseason. I don't know. I'm looking at him. We're evaluating things. We're talking about it. The draft's not till the 29th. I don't know. You don't have to make your mind up right now. You just have to be curious about things. Mac Jones, I don't know. If you like him, you like him. My guy is Justin Fields. He's my number one guy. But am I going to be upset if the Broncos get Mac Jones or if they get Trey Lance? Oh, I'm not going to be upset about it. I'm not going to be crying about it or, you know, saying they made a terrible mistake. I understand what the circumstances are. I understand what you have to do. And listen, man, they're the ones that get paid all the money, Tyler, to make those football decisions. They're the ones. Not us. They are. So, yeah, you can play the what-if-it-goes-wrong game all day, but what if it goes right?
You know, I'm with you in that I wouldn't be upset if we selected any of those guys at number 9. If any last one of those three falls to you and you just select them, fine, no problem. I mean, the consequences of getting that wrong are much less significant versus moving up and making some wild, aggressive play to take a guy that is number 4 or number 5 on your own board. So I'm okay with that, and I agree with you. Fine, no big deal. I mean, I might have my personal preference of which guy I prefer, but that doesn't mean the Broncos agree with my preference. And if you want to take a flyer on somebody because they fall to you, no big deal. There really aren't any major consequences to that. And you can take another chance next year because you didn't give anything up. But if you move up to number 4, now the consequences are significant because you don't have the luxury of trying again next year. You don't have the luxury of trying again in the second year. You might not even have the luxury of trying again in the third year. That's significant.
DenverFan.com's James Merrillat, a really solid teaser. As Zach had a Roby day today filling in with Stokely, and man, it was devastating to hear my compadre, my brother in arms, call my quarterback theory wacky. And James joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. You know, I felt compelled to call in to straighten things out. You've had some time to reflect on that, James. Have you come to your senses?
Well, I think wacky was perhaps a little harsh. The part of it I don't agree with, D-Mac, the part of it I just can't get on board with, is taking two quarterbacks in the same draft. That just doesn't
really
make any sense to me. And the reason being...
It doesn't really make sense to anyone, James. Don't worry. Yeah.
I can easily explain it, but go ahead. I'll explain it once you tell why you're confused by it.
It's the one position in all of sports, right? And I'm counting starting pitcher and goaltender in hockey. Mm-hmm. It's the only position in all of sports. You can only play one. So why on earth would you want to draft two guys to play the same spot? Ooh. Also bring in Teddy Bridgewater. Now you got three guys that
you can only play one at a time.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
I'll explain it to you.
Yeah, go ahead. I can't wait to hear it.
A quarterback room is filled with players that play the same position but have different roles. So when you're putting a team together, you have to figure out what roles each guy fits into. Very commonly, teams have three, sometimes four quarterbacks in their quarterback room, each fulfilling a specific type of role. So the role of Teddy Bridgewater would be one of two things. He's a bridge for a drafted quarterback, or he's a solid, competent backup to Drew Lock, better than Driscoll or Rippon. For Justin Fields, if you were to take him, his role would be the future starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos for the next 10 years. But he might need a bridge time, similar to how Alex Smith helped out Patrick Mahomes for a good chunk of time. So that makes sense. Why do you develop somebody later on? It's kind of the what if factor. But you don't depend on that guy in that particular role to really be anything special. You may be taking a different guy in that role year after year after year. But there is a what if moment. There's the what if Russell Wilson works out better than Matt Flynn. Now, that was a third round pick, but even better, Dak Prescott. What if Dak Prescott works out better in the long run than Tony Romo? It's not a plan. There's different roles. What you are getting confused, and a lot of people are, is you think I'm suggesting everybody has the same exact role. And that's not true. And that's how you build depth in a room, James and Tyler.
I think it's more so what is more important to your football team, the role of a fourth-round backup wide receiver, backup pass rusher, backup whatever that is going to be contributing to your team, mm-hmm. or the role of your backup, no, not even your backup quarterback, right. your developmental quarterback that is likely going to land on your practice squad.
To me,
that's where we find the difference.
To me, the more important guy is the depth of the quarterback room, because that's how important the position is, than some guy that may run down on special teams. And hopefully,
I think you can get a third string quarterback, and then down the road you can get your backup quarterback in so many different ways and so many different places.
What's your favorite way to get the best solid player? What's your theory on how to get that person?
Because
we got Brett Rippon. So all you have to do in terms of that role is ask yourself, how do I get somebody better than Brett Rippon?
Waiver wire.
Waiver wire then. Well, who?
Sure. And the other part of it is, and I know you had the Matt Moore example, and that's fine. And, we're using the Chiefs, who are a great team around a great quarterback, and Matt Moore was able to keep it on track. But the reality is, that's why I don't understand this whole competition for Drew Lock thing. He didn't start three games last year. One with Kendall Hinton, throw that out the door. The other two, Rippon won the game at the Jets, so I'm not sure how Andy Dalton or Teddy Bridgewater would have been better. And then they lost to the eventual Super Bowl champion, Bucks. Teddy Bridgewater or Andy Dalton or any of those guys wouldn't have won that game either. The reality is, if your starting quarterback goes out for any significant amount of time,
it's over.
More times than not, you're done.
It's over. The season's done. It doesn't matter who he is.
Yeah, they had Andy Dalton. They had a veteran backup, and it didn't matter. Their season was toast.
So
I think it's unnecessary.
So that's great. So you just give up then. Well, then, okay, cool. Because that's what we had last year. We had Jeff Driscoll, a ridiculous option. You had Brett Rippon, undrafted. Then you had Blake Bortles, who's washed out. And you're on the borderline of having Pat Shurmur's kid. And then we did start a game with a wide receiver, Kendall Hinton, who completed one pass.
And would anything have been different if we had Andy Dalton?
Yes.
If we had Nick Foles?
Yes.
What would have been different?
You would have won some games.
Okay,
what's
the outcome?
There would have been more heat under Drew Lock's pants.
So now we'd be drafted at number 15 instead. Great, cool. That helped.
All right.
Exactly. I don't know what they would have won.
They're gonna beat the Bucks. They're going to beat Tom Brady with Andy Dalton. I don't buy that.
Hey, man, I agree, man. But people don't want me to go back in time. People don't want me to go back to 2018 when they blew it and they did the wrong thing. People don't want that. So we're operating under these circumstances.
Yeah.
Not good circumstances,
by the way. What does 2018 have anything to do with our backup quarterback?
Because this is the mess that we're in because we made such a terrible decision in 2018.
Because of our backup quarterback?
No, because
our number three developmental guy? Easy
no,
for me to say.
Because you did not develop a solid plan or a room. Zero.
I am 100% with you, though. I'm with you on do whatever you can to get that position. It's the most important position. It's the only thing that matters. I'm with you on take one year after year after year after year until you get it right. You know, for me, if I take a guy in the first round, I'm playing him right away because if we're going to fail quickly so you can move on and try and find the next guy. So I'm with you for the most part on the quarterback.
All right, so what would you do this year, James? Where are you at? What do you want to do with QB? What do you want to do with number 9? Do you want to move up? Do you want to do anything?
I would move up if I have to get Trey Lance or Justin Fields. Now, you know, there's the two mocks that came out, the Todd McShay and the Peter Schrager one, where one or both of those guys fall to you at number 9. I mean, that's just the Broncos sitting there on their hands and having a potential franchise quarterback fall in their lap. If one of those guys is on the board at 9 and they pass on him, I mean, that's Bradley Chubb and Josh Allen all over again. I just don't think you can afford to make that kind of mistake. But I would move up to make sure I can get one of those guys. I think you have to, if you're going to make a change at quarterback, it has to be a significant improvement. So that was Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson before this whole mess, Carson Wentz, handful of veteran guys. And then it's one of the top 4 or 5 rookie quarterbacks. I think you got to make that kind of move. I think this is a team that they've given Vic Fangio all the pieces he needs to have a top 5 defense, supposedly. You got to upgrade the one position that is the glaring problem on this team, and that's the quarterback. So push your chips in the middle of the table, see what you can get.
See, at the end of the day, we all agree. At the end of the day, we all agree. Me, you, and Tyler. Tyler, we all agree. We have different guys that we like, but we all three of us have the same exact strategy. All three
of
us do.
We just have different risk tolerance is what it comes down to.
It's like we're all, why are we yelling at each other when we really should spend more time just yelling at Mike Evans?
When Mike gets you down, you know what you got to do?
I don't want to.
All right. We're short on time. The Rockies are probably going to lose. They're down 3-1 in the top of the 9th right now, although Gomber pitched much better today than his opening stint. However, it was Gomber for Nolan. James, Tyler's already yelled at me. Throughout the course of the day, because I think basically Nolan Arenado is acting like a spoiled brat. I'm going to give you a chance to be yelled at by Tyler. James, what'd you think about the Nolan stuff?
Oh, I think it's ridiculous. I think he has gotten basically a free pass from the fan base. Everybody blamed Runbert.
Everybody blamed Breidich. And they're somewhat at fault, but it wasn't entirely their fault. It didn't add up to me when it happened. I'm sitting there going, after 3 bad months, he was already complaining about the team around him because this all happened prior to the 2020 season that he was already complaining.
To me, the Wainwright story, he's the guy that was sending dirty text messages to another girl on his honeymoon, and then we're all saying, well, it wasn't his fault that the marriage broke up. Yeah, it was. He was looking elsewhere. He had his eye going somewhere else, and he's trying to have his cake and eat it, too.
I'm not going to yell at our guest. Thank you, James.
What? All right. Read James at DenverFan.com. Thank you, James. Have a good weekend. Are you not going to yell at James?
No, because you teed me up with knowing that we're already in overtime, and I'm not going to take the bait. Thank you, James.
I was really counting on you yelling at James. Mount Palumbus Speak is next.